throughout this week, since I knew that I was to speak at this service. I've been thinking of different things. When I decided what the message was to be, I thought that was fine. As I sat in the Bible class this morning, I almost thought that Herbert Branch had been in my room peeping over my shoulder and listening to me talking to myself. That's what I do when I'm sitting studying, I talk away to myself. Of course, that's a good thing. It's no use talking to someone else that doesn't understand you. You talk to yourself, you understand what you're saying, don't you? I thought Herbert was going to steal my message this morning, and yet he was reading away in the last chapter of Timothy. And he mentions the very thing that I was meditating on, but I'm going to read to you from the Old Testament. But he started off his message today by telling us that in the epistle to Timothy there are an awful lot of warnings. So he started off about warnings. That's exactly what I was thinking of for this message. Warnings. And he mentioned the very name of the man that we're going to read about. I want you to open your Bibles at the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 4. Now, the 12 chapters of Daniel are all interesting. I don't know if you take time to read this little book of Daniel. You should get acquainted with it. And also the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. These are two books that are neglected in it. They're worthy of a lot of study. The 12 chapters of Daniel are very interesting. And each chapter has its own particular grip. Now, I want you to read with me. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of chapter 4, but it's all interesting. But we'll start our reading at verse 19. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. The end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose words are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Trust the Lord and bless to us the reading these verses. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, wilt thou be pleased to take the words that have been read, and by the power of thy Holy Spirit, seal them upon every heart and conscience now. And may the end of this service be for thy glory and the exalting of thy beloved Son. We ask in his precious name. Amen. I wonder, my friend, if someone was to approach you and say to you, are you Christian? And if so, would you care to give us your testimony? Or would you care to write it for a tract? Write out a little epistle of your own, a little letter, and sending it to some person or a number of persons perhaps. Tell them how you were converted, the circumstances that led you up to that great moment of decision, and the change that's been wrought in your life. Could you do that? Well, you say, Mr. McNeil, you know, I'm not a writer. I'm not good at writing. Well, could you tell someone and they could record it? Could you speak it? Could you tell what the Lord has done for you? Or is it possible you've never had a conversion? Is it possible you've never turned to God? You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Maybe you've made a lot of excuses for not, of course, but I'm asking you now, because that's what Nebuchadnezzar did here. What we've been reading in this chapter is what he said. He's writing us this little tract, as it were, this little epistle, put in a chapter here, to tell us how he was brought to know God. It makes me think of different things. How often does God need to speak to a person before they'll come to acknowledge their need of a Savior? I know when I come over to the New Testament, there's one man we read of there, and it took an earthquake to awaken him. There's sometimes God speaks through the storm, speaks with a voice of thunder, as it were, some tragedy, some outstanding experience that shakes us up to bring us to the point where we know that we need to turn to God. Or it may be he speaks like a flash of lightning, stirs you up. But not always. There are times when he can speak with a still, small voice. And that still, small voice can get home to the heart. Well, this man, Nebuchadnezzar, he was a very powerful man. It's obvious he was an educated man, a man of great wisdom, a man of great power. But here we find how God is dealing with this king. There's one lesson, at least one lesson, that God is going to teach him. Till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know, I think you should all learn that little verse and keep it before you day after day throughout this year. We're going to be blasted from now until November with men talking about I, what I have done and what I will do, etc., etc., you know. What we have accomplished. These politicians are very promising fellows. Promise you anything. But they seldom keep their promises. You've noticed that. And they're going to be crying and decrying each other from now right up to November. And they think, and a lot of people think, that when you go into that polling booth and put your X, or if you're more up to date and you press the button or pull the lever, you know, that you're going to put into power the man that's to be in power. You don't do that. The Bible distinctly says, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that. Now remember, he was a great king, the great leader of the Babylonish Empire. Victory after victory were put to his credit. He took prisoners. He took treasures. He ransacked the whole countryside round about. He went up as far as Jerusalem and took all the treasures out of the great temple that had been built by Solomon. He took the gold and silver vessels there. And he took the princes from there and took them down as captives. Took the wise men, as it were. Wanted to make use of all the knowledge. What a kingdom he had. But you know, he didn't sleep very well. Uneasy sleeps the head that wears the crown, you know. But Perhaps they think they're wearing it when they're in bed and it's too heavy for them. Nebuchadnezzar didn't sleep too well. He was troubled with nightmares. I don't know if you've ever had a nightmare. I used to have them when I was a little boy. I was always getting chased by the policeman. The reason was we had one policeman in our place, and that's all he did. He chased little boys. Of course, perhaps we're doing things that you wouldn't dare do today. We used to play soccer on the highway. You know, it's the only place we had to play. They didn't give us all those fancy fields and playing places. We had to play on the road. If you saw a bus coming or a car, you could see the wheel on the road, and you lifted the ball till it got past, and you started again. Then the policeman came down, and you had to lift it and run. And so often after you've been getting chased with the policeman for playing football on the road or climbing a tree, and he came down, and you had to get down off the tree and run. He had nothing else to do. That was the trouble. He himself broke the law every day. The policeman, he broke the law every day. He's a great gambler. He was very friendly with a bookie. I know for a fact that's what he did every day. He had his betting slips. But no man was ever arrested in our village for gambling, because he himself was one of them, and they couldn't arrest others. They would have told on him. So at night time, if you dreamed, well, it was like a nightmare. Old Dan was chasing you again. He never caught me once. You see, what did he do if he caught a boy? Well, he had a great big pair of gauntlets that were up in here, and he just took those gauntlets and he let you have it. Well, they would have made a federal case of that today. If he got near enough, well, you would have lifted his book. Many a boy got it. So at night time, you see, you had a dream when you were a boy. Nebuchadnezzar was a great leader of a great kingdom, a great empire. He was troubled at night with a bad conscience. He had nightmares. You read of one of them related in chapter 2, another one here in chapter 4. Here was a man. You may call it a dream. The dream was received. In that dream or in that nightmare, he saw a great tree. Tall tree, spreading out his branches, huge thing. But a watcher came down and said, cut it down, but just leave the stump. He was worried about it. He knew it was a message of some kind, and he called in the astrologers and the wise men of Babylon, but not one of them could tell him the meaning of his nightmare. They didn't know what was troubling him. Let me remind you, my friend, he just did what a lot of people do today. They go to the wrong people. Something wrong? Let's get the paper in the morning and see what day this is, and if my star is, if this is my lucky day. Huh? What does the astrologer to say? Or let's go and we'll have an interview with the psychiatrist. We'll tell him and see if he can tell us. Why go to the psychiatrist? Or why look up your lucky star? Why try the astrologers? They can't tell you what's wrong with you, my friend. Why don't you get to the right place? If God has been speaking to you, why don't you get to God's word and get the meaning of it? But Daniel came in. Now I want you to think for a moment or two of this great man, Nebuchadnezzar. There were certain privileges that he enjoyed. He had been greatly privileged. As I have indicated, he was a very victorious king. When he went out of battle, he always won. He ruled over a great empire. Lived in a beautiful palace, and everything that this world could provide, lacked for nothing. Oh, the privileges. Go further than that. He was a man who had the privilege of revelation. In chapter 2, Daniel came in there to interpret for him that great dream he had, where he saw that image with the head of gold, the breasts and arms of silver, the thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet partly iron and partly clay. He didn't understand it, and the stone came and struck the feet of that great image, and the whole thing disintegrated. That stone grew and became a great mountain, filled the earth. He didn't understand it, but Daniel did. And Daniel indicated to him that that was a message from God, that he was that head of gold, etc., etc., and it would be succeeded by different empires until there would be a kingdom set up that would never be destroyed. And that kingdom would be the kingdom established by the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. So you see, he had received certain revelation from God. Not only so, he had seen a divine demonstration of God's power. For he himself went against the revelation he had received, and he put up a great image himself, all of gold. Plain words, he's saying to Daniel, you may think I'm only the head of gold. No, I'm the whole image. And he made the whole image of gold and set it up. And he had the greatest band that ever was known at that time. Every kind of instrument, and he brought in all those that could play them. Why, talk about music. He had this band playing, and when the band played, everybody was to fall down and worship that image. Plain word, worshipping whom it spoke of. He was that image. That's what he thought. And those that would not bow down would be cast into the fiery furnace. And 3 young Hebrews said, we'll not bow down to your image. Well, you'll be cast into the fiery furnace, so what? Our God, whom we believe and trust, is able to deliver us from your hand. Even if you cast us into the fire, he'll deliver us from that. Our God is able. We trust our God. He had them cast into that fiery furnace, but when he looked in, I suppose they had some kind of window they could look in through. He said, did not we cast in 3, and I see 4 in there, and they're not scorched or burned. And the 4th one is like unto the Son of God. He's supernatural. And from then on he realized there was a God in heaven who was more powerful than he was. But it didn't change him. He received all those things. He privileged to get that revelation. Privileged to see a divine demonstration. Privileged to receive a divine admonition. You get it right here. Now, says Daniel to him, God has revealed to you again what's going to happen. Your kingdom is going to be taken from you for a time. You're going to be cut down. You're that tree. You'll be cut down, but your stump will remain. But something tragic is going to happen to you. You're going to lose your reason. You'll be fed like a beast of the field. His nails would be like birch claws. He'd be very much in the fashion today, ladies, wouldn't he? I saw one in the paper the other day where this girl was complaining, making a federal case of it, losing her job because her nails were far too long. Right, you'd be frightened to get near some of them. They're like swords. And boys, be very much in the fashion with some of the young fellows I see going around today. His hair was grown like bird's feathers. You've seen that kind, haven't you? Hair grown like bird's feathers. And nails like bird's claws. What a shame. A man who had sat on the throne. Now, says Daniel, there's only one thing to do, and it's this. I want you to repent and turn from your sin. He says, break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. So it's obvious he was living in sin and in iniquity. And Daniel was fearless and told him, he said, now there's only one thing to do. God has spoken to you. And the thing to do is break off your sins. Stop from that life of iniquity. And show mercy to the poor. Did he do it? No, he didn't. This, I believe, is one of our main messages from this passage this morning to each of us. Look at this. While he was told all these things, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. God gave him grace again for another 12 months. God speaks once, or he may speak twice, and man heedeth it not. The time comes when God, as it were, wraps down and says, it's time. 12 months after he received that warning to break off from his sins and from his life of iniquity, 12 months passed and there was no change, like a time bomb. The fuse was there all right, but it didn't go off until 12 months later. Picture him. He goes out for a walk one day around the palace grounds. And he's looking at everything, that massive city. And the walls going around it. Great city. Beautiful gardens, you've heard of the hanging gardens of Babylon. He's beating himself on the chest and he's saying, why, what a great man I am. What a great city I have built. Is not this great Babylon that I have built? I doubt if you ever put one stone upon another. You would have all his slave workers doing it. But you see, he claimed it. I. Is not this great Babylon that I have built? Plain words. Who can defeat me? See, here was a man stinking with pride in his own accomplishments. Thinking he was somebody when God in high heaven said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're just nobody. It's me that puts up and it's me that puts down. And you'll have to learn that lesson. When you went up to Jerusalem and overcame Judah, take them captive and destroy Jerusalem, it was me that allowed you to do it. I used you as a tool to chastise them. But Nebuchadnezzar thought it was he who did it, just like men today. See what I have accomplished, see what I have done. And he had to learn the lesson as God who rules in the kingdom of men. And God put it up and put it down. 12 months he's walking around it. Imagine, it was a massive city. Oh, what a city. Beautiful gardens with all the ornamentation. Bridges going over the river Euphrates. These walls, I've tried to come to grips with it. Have you ever driven up to Washington, D.C.? You go up there and you don't want to go through the city. Of course, you take the bypass, the circuit road. And if you're going to go further north, you can go either to the right or to the left and then take off. If you were to go right round it, it's 65 miles. Big road. The walls around Babylon were 60 miles. I don't know what it cost to put that bypass right round Washington, but if you were to consider them starting to build a wall around there, like the Berlin Wall, and a lot bigger, This was a tremendous wall that was round this great city. They say they could run the chariots on the top of the wall. Is not this great Babylon that I have built? God says it's time, Nebuchadnezzar, finish. And his reason left him later. You might have said he took a stroke. Yeah, it was a mental stroke. They wouldn't have him anymore, they put him out. And see him out there, 7 years would pass over him. Yes. The time came when what he saw in his dream and the explanation of it took place. Because of his pride and his presumption, God dealt with him. Punishment he experienced. He was stripped of his position of power. My friend, God can bring all of us down, you know. We don't know what a day may bring forth. A man may be the prime minister this year, and well, before long he may be out. Do you remember when John Kennedy was elected to the White House? Some of you are too young to remember that, I know that, but most of you older folks remember when John Kennedy was elected. Why, some people in this country nearly went mad. Oh, the propaganda that went round beforehand. Why, if you vote that man in, don't you realize that all the workers in the White House were running around there with black robes on and hoods over them? All those sisters of misery will get all the jobs in the White House, and the Pope will be coming over to pay him a special visit to put his blessing upon him and so on. This is the kind of talk they were sending letters out about this. And in spite of all the propaganda, John Kennedy went in. Then one day, driving through over there in Texas, you remember? In a moment, he was out. It's God who puts up. It's God who puts down. You and I just don't know what a day will bring forth. You see, the trouble is, some people get into a position of power, whether it's political power or religious power. They think there's nobody like them. And they forget that God in high heaven could let you go to your bed at night, and in the morning you hardly know who you are. Or it may be you go to bed and you don't wake it in the morning, you've passed out during the night. Well, let's face it. God is all powerful. Our God is supreme. And the sooner that men and women learn that God is all knowing and God is all powerful, we should be ready to bow the knee to the sovereign power of God. God dealt with him. He was even rejected by his own people. His reason departed from him. For 7 years he lived like a beast of the field. And he learned his lesson. And that's why he wrote this chapter. That's why it's here. Telling us how the day came when he realized that God was right. It's God who puts up, it's God who puts down. And he learned there, here's what he says at the end. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Beloved, as we face these things this morning, knowing that there is a God in heaven to be dealt with. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. I want to ask you in all fairness, has there been a time when you have come to grips with these solemn issues and you've prepared to meet God. You say, how do we do it? In God's way. Not in your way, not in my way, in God's way. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Warnings. Our brother was talking about warnings in the Bible class. God has warned nations. And when nations fail to take the warning, God deals with them. He's warned this nation time and again. It's time we're taking the warning. God can warn cities. He can warn individuals. Has He warned you? If God gives us warnings and we fail to take these warnings, remember this, we'll take the consequences. If we ignore God's warnings, then the end must be faced. But if God gives a warning and you take that warning, and you come to the point, you say, well, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And in all humility, knowing that God has humbled you to that point, that you can't do without God, that you must get right with God. You can do it, my friend, right now, where you sit. Get right with God. Do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how. Just come to Christ, who shed His blood, and at the cross, get right with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, and for men mentioned in the word who were brought to the point, the point of the great divide. Think of those who turned to Thee in true humility and took Thy way, accepted Thy word. We think of others who closed their hearts and closed their minds and went on to destruction. God grant that from this service this morning there may go up to heaven a cry for help, that some poor struggling soul may find the way and get right today with the Savior. Hear us now and bless us as we separate for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing a little hymn together. It's one of my favorites for the end of a meeting of like this. It's number 250. Bobby will come up and lead us in the singing.